Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A-List with me, Jennifer Neely. Every week we chat with an influencer to see what makes them tick. And today, Monday, January 31st, 2010, from London, England, we have Tammy Conn-Fennell, who is the CEO of Market Me Suite, and her special guest star, Alan Hamlin, who is the CTO of the same company. Welcome to both.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. So, okay, we know we're going to primarily be speaking with Tammy. Alan handles more technical questions, so if we get into any technical stuff, we've got Alan on the line. Is that right?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, so let's talk about Market Me Suite from an entrepreneurial point of view. So you're where in the world and you see a gap in the market?
Oh, yeah. Hang on, wait 1 second. I think we might have something going on here. Hang on one
second. Well, it auto-plays if the show, if you've got the show page up. You have to mute.
Yes, there we go. Sorry about that.
That's okay. So, again, just the question is, from an entrepreneurial point of view, where were you in your life where you discovered, because you're pretty young, I think you're 29, and you said, hey, there's a gap in the market that needs to be filled. So kind of walk me through that discovery phase.
Sure, and thank you for calling me young. I spend all day feeling old because Alan is only 22, and Bill, who is our lead developer, he is, I think, 24. Yeah, 24, so I'm like the granny. But it started because Alan and I were working on a kind of a joint project. He was doing the web design, and I was doing the marketing for a project. And we started chatting because I had to liaise with Alan about some web design work that was going on. And we just started chatting about Twitter and how I was using it for the small business that I was running, which at the time was an antiques business. And Alan had said, oh, you know, I don't really use social media much for my web design business. I think he used the word, it's a big load of crap. couldn't find any use for it. So I said, you know what, it is good if you know how to use it. So I gave Alan a challenge that he gives me over his Twitter account for a period of time, and I get him followers, but interactive followers. And I kind of did my thing and got him followers for a particular event that he was running for web designers. And then Alan, you were hooked, right? And
absolutely.
Yeah. And we decided that we need to kind of join forces and build something so that people could take the long-winded method that I was kind of doing and have it in a way that they could use on a regular basis to help promote and proactively, but ethically, not spamming, but proactively market and engage with their customers.
So still having that sense of knowing who the people are without sort of just the mass message kind of approach.
Right. So it was a case of really just fate, I guess. I don't know. Alan and I just kind of happened to meet at the time when we were both looking to do something a little bit different from what we were doing. And we just kind of meshed, even though it was bicontinental. I was living in New York. Alan was over here. And you said we were in London. We're actually a little bit north of London in a lovely county called Norfolk, about 2 hours north of London.
Oh, Norfolk. Wait a minute. That's where my husband's English. That's where Uncle Chris and Auntie Pops live. And Granny.
Well, there you go. And also
there.
A very famous show called
That's the
Alan
country
Partridge.
Land. So for everyone listening, that's
heard
sort
of Alan Partridge. It's
yes,
Alan Partridge,
Alan Partridge makes fun of the farmers because it, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. That's
yeah,
really
no, no. I know all about Norfolk. So for Americans listening, that's sort of the equivalent of, like, the country bumpkin part of England, unfortunately.
It is.
It kind of has that reputation.
We're trying to make Norfolk the new Silicon Valley.
Well, yeah. Gordon Ramsay did one Kitchen
nice
Nightmares place. England with Rococo, which was sadly rebranded and then died anyway, across the street from St. Margaret's, mm-hmm. where the country market is in one of the towns in the county. But anyway, so you met bicoastally initially. Now, where is so Market Me Suite, where is it based at the moment?
It's in a town, right now it's in a town called Boylston, which is right on the coast.
Okay, so you're in the UK now.
Yeah, we're in the UK. So because Alan and the team, Bill, who hopefully is listening to this, we're over here already, and it was just me, and I was handling, you know, the marketing side. I was over there. It made sense at this stage for me to come over for a little bit and live here. So I moved here about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we were doing it bi-coastal for a while, but we really all need to be in the same place. So it's nice. We have a nice little office. It's really good fun.
Great. Okay, so tell me how long the company's been in business. And so we know you kind of started bi-coastally, but how long has the process taken to kind of consolidate so you're all in one place efficiently moving forward?
Well, we started we were just talking about this before for dinner. We started about 15 months ago. I know that because we started right around the time that I had my first baby. So the business is as old as my son, James. So we started then, and that was when we released our first mini application, and it was called Tweet Brand. And it took the branding element of Market Me Tweet, which was such a genius idea by Alan, and just allowed people to just brand tweets. It didn't do anything really more than just tweeting. And then we released version 1 in February, and then version 2, June or July, I think?
About July.
July, yeah. And version 3 just now.
So in terms of what the product does, the V3 of the product, version 3 of the product, in terms of social media marketing, tell me what it tackles now in terms, because social media marketing can encompass so many things, as we all know. And to be good, you have to focus on a few things like you did. You focused on Twitter first, kind of, you know, get down what you're trying to accomplish, and obviously get enough people to purchase or become, you become a vendor for them, and then build on that. So tell me sort of what you feel like you've tackled in terms of core competencies, and then what you hope to build on.
Right. So basically, the problem that we saw, especially with businesses using social media, was that you would download one of the plethora of free apps that are out there, and you would think, okay, I have this great management tool. Now, what am I going to do with it? I have 2 followers, and one of them is my mom. So, you know, it's not really a very good marketing tool to start out. So we actually tried to bring together some of the best management features that we saw, but also some of the marketing features. So, for example, the ability to brand your tweet. When you send out a tweet, usually it says via and then the application that you use. We make it so it's a clickable link back to your own website. That's just really good real estate that wasn't being used. We let people geo-target their tweets so you can bring up lists of people who are talking about the exact niche that you're in the exact location you need them to be, and then connect with them based on that. We have the ability to unfollow people who aren't following you back, people who are just cluttering your timeline. We also have a lot of proactive sort of management tools for team collaboration. So we just released something called Dotted Tweets, which is a way for you to organize your tweets into different colors. So if, for example, Alan uses yellow tweets. Those are ones I assigned to him. The purple ones are assigned to me. So we know that those are tweets I need to deal with versus you know, just having a whole list of tweets and then not knowing. We integrate with Zendesk, which is a customer relationship management tool that we just love them. We're not affiliated with them other than the fact that we interact with them. And we also have signatures as well, which is an important way to sign your tweets. So with the brand, also your Facebook posts, you can put a little signature underneath so that anytime, basically our goal is that anytime you have any interaction with either your followers or somebody you're applying to, that people really, really know who you are, more than just your Twitter name or your Facebook name. We want to eliminate the double click. We want to know that within whatever message you're sending, there's ways for people to know who you are, because people are busy these days and they don't take the extra time.
That's very, very true. Or they need it instantaneously. So
exactly.
There's always a question I love to ask young entrepreneurs, which is, especially when you're in England and, you know, the credit crunch has hit us all, smaller countries always have tougher times with it. I know my in-laws were saying they don't like to put things on their cards because I think maybe not for them, but they know of credit card rates being up to like 30% interest. mm-hmm. which I have yet to hear about here.
As high as 40, I was looking at opening up another card here, and it was 40%. I said, oh, my God, what's the point?
So you're proving my lovely mother-in-law correct. But I guess the point being is, you know, young entrepreneur funding in a smaller country, right? Because I'm quite surprised that instead of scooping Alan up and saying we're going to leave Norfolk and you know, head over to New York or you know, another state, that you decided to go the other way. Tell me how that's worked from a funding perspective and keeping the momentum going from a fiscal perspective.
Right. Okay, that's actually a really good question. I think sorry if you just hear pitter-pattering, our office dog is actually here on this interview with us. So
okay. What's your mascot's name?
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So from everyone gets involved. We make him do the accounts. that's actually how we survive. We make the animals work. From a funding perspective, it's been interesting. We made a commitment, Alan and I, when we started this, that we were going to be a paid-for tool because we decided that what we were building was for small businesses and that as small business owners ourselves, we are willing to pay for things that help make our business work better. And that if we can continue to fund ourselves based on the fact that people are paying for our app, that we can push that into development and then keep making a better app. And we've always committed to give lifetime upgrades to people. So we've never charged somebody for another version. There's some people who have been with us since version one and they now have version three. It's not even hardly the same application anymore, but they, you know, paid what they paid and they'll keep getting updates pushed to them. So having the paid for model really helped us with our first year. Because freemium is all well and good if you have a lot of money behind you, but, you know, because then you could just get a boatload of users using it. But really, when you're trying to do it from a bootstrapping type of thing, you need to have funds coming in. That was a really big thing. I mean, working in Garlston has helped because the rent here, it's a very low rent district. So we've been able to have a nice size office space for what state are you in, Jennifer?
I'm in California, where it's
California,
extremely
so you know,
expensive.
I'm from New York, so you know it's like crazy how much things
yeah.
cost.
And I've lived
like
in New York, so
it's like
yeah.
half price. So I mean, we have this really nice office with lots of room in it, and we're paying very, very little compared to what we would pay for something even a quarter of the size, you know, in a bigger place or even in London. So keeping costs down that way has really helped us. And we're actually now in a funding round. We're talking to we've hit the point where we have put as much as we can into the app, and now we're gonna fast track it and really bring it to the next level, hire more people and stuff. So that's where we're at right now. But being able to go to investors and saying we have a working profitable model has been very, very helpful. So definitely a good thing that we were able to do it for the first year self-funding.
So it sounds to me like the target market is small and medium businesses. Is that right?
Yep, small and even lower, even smaller than small businesses. You know, individual entrepreneurs as well do very well with this tool.
I know, it's so funny when I talk about SMBs in the United States, which make up 99.7% of all businesses, and I'll talk in rooms with lots of other social media folks who've self-branded themselves and. You know, and I wonder how long that'll last, too, because that's a very Gen X thing, and Gen Y is not so into the personal brand. They actually name things, mm-hmm. not necessarily after themselves. But, you know, I say, you know, you guys are small businesses because they're looking for these solutions as well. So let's talk to both them and basically all potential purchasers. Where can they go for more information, and what are the price points of the product? And kind of what do they get? So you've talked about
sure.
lifetime upgrades. You've talked a lot about, you know, the very specifics of the tweeting capacities for tracking and assigning and being personally interactive. But let's talk about where people can go if they want to look right now and what the price point is. If there's more than one, feel free to explain.
Sure. So they can go to marketmesuite.com, and there's a beautiful video that we just had produced for us. So watch the video because it's awesome. I'm really excited about that video. For the longest time, talk about bootstrapping, we had a video that I had made kind of on my computer. So I was really excited to get a professional video done. And
it does
right
say
on there,
play the video. I should let people know that it's Market Me Sweet, like an office sweet, not sweet like candy. So S-U-I-T-E.
Yeah. S-U-I-T-E, yeah, marketme, S-U-I-T-E, .com. And right along the top is the pricing. And what we have is we have three options, and they all lead to the same application. So we're not limiting the application. We're just basically, we understand that businesses and people are at different stages, and some people would prefer to pay once and just fork over a little bit more money and just pay once and never have to think about it again. Some people only want to pay a tiny bit. But, you know, try it kind of, and then other people, you know, so we have three options. We have our almost free option, and we call it our almost free option because it's $6 a month, but we figure you can try it for 1 month, you know, and $6, we figure that's almost free. So that's our almost free option. We have our yearly option, which is usually $69. It's been as high as $79, but as our version 3 launch special, because we just launched it on Friday, we've reduced it to $30. That's not going to stay forever, but that's our launch special yearly price of just $30 a year. And then
that's,
we have
a
our
big
lifetime.
Discount.
Yeah, it's a really big deal. We just are so excited about this version, and we just have worked so hard to get this together that we just want people to enjoy it and try it and tell their friends. And we figure for a little while we'll do a steep discount. And then we have our lifetime option for $99, and you'll never get a bill from us again, but you'll still get upgraded.
Wow. So, again, here on the pricing page, if people are going to marketme suite, S-U-I-T-E, suite, .com, the name of your company is Pie Dog Media, which is so cute. But let's stay focused on what it actually what you can actually do. So what are some of the things where you knew that there were pain points having worked in and at an SMB, and you're going, oh, God, you know, I wish I had something that did X, Y, Z. What are some of the features that, you know, you talked about working really hard to get this version out, and feel free to bring Alan into the conversation for the more technical things, but what were things that you were able to get into this version three that you weren't able, you know, resolves a problem or, you know, makes life easier for people trying to market?
Right. Well, I think the two big things that I could think of in version three that is a big step up from version two is version two, our Facebook was actually in beta. So we've moved it out of beta, although all of version three is technically in beta for the next few weeks. We're just, you know, testing and adding to it. But we have so much more on our Facebook side. So we had just had the news feed and the home timeline, and now we have groups and fan pages where you can actually see what's going on. Before, you could only post them. So it's nice that you can see what's going on. And then if you comment or post any status update from MarketMeFeed itself, you can actually put in a signature with your website, so that every time you comment on something in a group, it automatically attaches your website to your comment. So it's a sent from www.andthenyourwebsite.com, which becomes clickable. So a lot of our users have been having a lot of fun in groups and fan pages and stuff, commenting on things and realizing that every comment that they do is going to have a link back, which is really, really nice. And I think dotted tweets is pretty huge. I'm really curious to see what great things our users come up with for how to use dotted tweets, because we always come up with ideas for how it should be used, and then our users become real. They're just amazing, and they come up with 10,000 other ways that it could be that it could be used. But we just see that as being so good for organization that I think, and it's totally unique to what we're doing. And of course, the interface is just beautiful. What Bill built in this interface is just gorgeous, and it's just easier to navigate. And whenever you're doing marketing or anything, and you have to have, before you can market, you have to be able to manage yourself. So an easy-to-use interface, oh, excuse me for 1 second, we'll make that stop. An easy-to-use interface is always, you know, a better way to market yourself, because you can just organize what you're doing and therefore be more proactive and catch all the things you need to catch and mainly engage with people. So by dotting your tweets, by assigning them to the right people, by using customer relationship management, things like Zendesk. It's just all a way to make sure that you don't miss anything, because as far as we're concerned, anyone that interacts with you on social media is a potential lead, is a potential customer, and you don't want to miss that.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Sure. No. So maybe this is a good time to switch over to Alan. Alan, from your perspective, are there any advancements that you are loving in version 3 that you feel like you'd like to shout from the rooftops about?
Well, I think Tammy's got it pretty well covered, but I love the new interface. I designed the interface and Bill implemented it. Like now we're able to drag and drop the panes, which I think is just a more elegant way of doing it, much easier. And also the way to, because some people have a lot of panes, you know, they may have up to 20, 30, 40. We have a color system at the bottom, which allows you to mouse over and see what the pane is, and then jump to that pane directly, and it will flash to show you which one you're on, which just makes it a lot easier to navigate through several panes that you might have, because they could go off the screen and you wouldn't be able to get some very easy. So I like that.
Because I live with an Englishman, and often he can't be understood. So you're saying panes, like you're seeing columns or something
the
like feet, that? And
yeah, the columns, yeah.
So not,
yeah,
not actual
call them panes,
panes, like window panes.
Yeah, so like your mentions or your home timeline or your tweets or any search panes that you might have, which are the search terms you might put in, maybe if you're a business, something like that. So those panes, you can also change the colors of them. So you can change the background color and the text color, which, again, just some people find it hard to see certain colors. So it's sort of a usability aspect of the app, because some of our users, you know, they just can't read the dark text on white backgrounds, or vice versa. So that's probably the bits I like the most.
So how does the actual signature work for Twitter? So I would imagine that somehow is part of the tweet. If you click on it, you can see the signature, but it, you know, obviously the character count is always an issue. So how does the signature piece work, sort of, you know, as you're using it on Twitter? And either of you can take that question.
Yeah, I promised Alan he didn't have to talk a whole lot. I think I'm going to get smacked if I give him too many questions. Alan's like, you talk. I'm like, all right.
Well, you're a CEO. If you don't talk, you don't sell. So
yeah, exactly.
Kind of your job.
the nice thing about the character count issue is that with the branding, it doesn't take up any characters. So branding is something we've always had. That was like our first thing that we ever did. That's whenever you send out a manual tweet from the tweet box, rather than saying via MarketMe Suite or via Hootsuite or via TweetDeck, it says via your website, which is cool. That doesn't take up
that
characters.
That is very cool.
But
so
when we
tell me who's using your product where I can, and the audience can actually go do their tweet stream. Is there a company you're working with that you can
buy? Yeah, I'm trying to. I know one that is almost always using it, and I'm sure he's listening. Is Social Phil at Social Phil? He's always tweeting.
Social Phil or Social Sale?
Social Phil, yeah, P-H-I-L. I think I'm pretty sure. Now I'm probably going to get proven wrong. I better just check to make sure that he really is. Phil, you better be tweeting. Let's see, Social Phil.
I'll look it up. You keep talking. So talk to me how.
Oh, no, I think I'm
about how that works.
Maybe it's with two L's. That doesn't seem to be him. It's two L's. Social Phil with two L's. So that works. Alan, you can explain a bit better. Sorry, Alan, I'm going to have to ask you to explain branding.
Sure. Well, we basically took, people who are familiar with TweetDeck and Hootsuite and all those, you'll notice every tweet sent, it's sent via TweetDeck or sent via Hootsuite. And that's because they registered an application with Twitter. So what we did was we made the process easier to register an application and then use those keys within the our application. So basically you've created an app on Twitter. And with that, that's what gives you your own link. And as long as it goes back to your site and not misleading or anything like that, then that's fine. Twitter likes it. That's how that works.
And that's how that works. And even with new Twitter, you can still see it. You just click on the tweet details and it pops up. And the nice thing about that link is that Google real-time search is showing up in that. Anytime you use Twitter for iPhone, you see it right there in that. It shows up on all the applications. It's just a nice bonus to your.
So are you going to be able to make it more prominent in new Twitter? Because I know when I've been using new Twitter for a long time, or feels like a long time now in the relative scheme of things, and I didn't see it right away. So I clicked on detail, and I can see it, and it's super cool. So is that something that will be more prominent in future versions?
Well, there's not a whole lot that we can do about where Twitter wants to put that VIA app thing. I mean, that's kind of Twitter's thing. But what I will say is that from what we've been seeing and following with what Twitter's doing, I think there's going to be a lot more reason to go into the tweet details section. They seem to be chalking it full of stuff. So I think it's going to become a more prominent section of the site. I think that just users of the old Twitter interface just aren't used to it yet. And, again, on any other application, it's right there under the tweet, and on Twitter for iPhone, you see it right there. And if you're not signed in, it'll show it right on there. So for anyone that's just browsing the site, they're going to see it. And then on top of that, we also have our signatures so that you can – it's mostly so that if more than one person's using your MarketMeSuite account, you can differentiate who's sending a tweet. So, like, all of Alan's will say AH and all of mine will say TKF. But we've made it a hashtag, so that means that you can actually click on your signature and then find other tweets with your signature, or other people can see other tweets. So as long as you try to find a unique hashtag or a unique signature, you can actually start tagging all of your tweets with that signature and letting people retweet with your hashtag.
Very cool.
Yeah, and that was a kind of a new addition too. We were always going to do, we call them me sigs. We're always going to do some version of it, but I think it was Bill that came up with the idea to do it as a hashtag, and it was a really smart idea because it definitely has a more viral element to it.
So let's talk about outside of Twitter, because obviously Twitter is a very specific place, and not everybody, I always talk about how every time I bring an intern in, like the Gen Y folks aren't, and you guys are Gen Y in a lot of ways, or really are.
I think we crossed over.
Well, it depends on how it's defined. That's the biggest problem. But, I do a lot of generational marketing, and certainly, Alan especially, I wonder, and maybe it's a little different in the UK than here, but every time I get an intern, I have to ask them, and they're very socially savvy, very good, but I have to ask them to use or create a Twitter account. They're not so active, and mm-hmm. I've had feedback in California, because I'm in the San Francisco area, I noticed my friends in LA are really active. I had that comment a couple of times. I don't know if they use it more there, but I think from that perspective, I don't know if you have any comment on that, but I'm looking more for the, from young entrepreneurs who are using potentially other tools to, people that are really dedicated to, like, their Facebook page, and they want to be using that to market and interact and really have great content. You talked about running an antique shop. So I've worked with Ruby Lane, Ruby Plaza, and they have...
I love Ruby Lane.
Yeah, they have great stuff. And it was bizarre because I had one of the people in a class, and it turned out that I had been a customer of one of the shops and could help them out understanding analytics and marketing funnels, et cetera, et cetera. So for folks like that who have, they constantly have great content and they have good interaction, but maybe would love more on, say, the Ruby Plaza side, which is a younger audience, or sometimes, they could use a better idea of what's doing well and what's not. Hootsuite has, an analytics graph in it. What are some of the features like that for, say, if we talk about just Facebook for a moment, that would be appealing potentially to social media marketers out there?
In terms of analytics? Or in terms of
your product, as your what your product potentially offers, now or in the future for those using Facebook.
Right. So with Facebook, I think it's funny. Alan and I were kind of talking about this earlier. in terms of how, no matter how much you can build a nice Facebook interface, people still like to go to Facebook.com. It just has that kind of pull to it. So the key to Facebook, it really does. So, you know, I was like, we can build the most gorgeous face. And this Facebook interface is, you know, leaps and bounds over what ours was, and it's very easy to use. But still, you know, it's, you know, Facebook has its own pull to it. So I think the main thing that we do and that anyone who uses any third-party app has to do is pull the most important content so that you know what to act on. Because really, it's all about just pulling it and then so that you can engage in it. I mean, then you can go to Facebook.com if you want, you know, for your personal stuff. But for your business, you want to just have one place where you can see your profile feed coming in, you could see your group feed coming in, see if anyone commented on things, just so you have it all in one place so you don't have to go, you know, to all the different places on Facebook. And I think that in terms of how to make Facebook, you know, work for proactive marketing, it is different than Twitter. But I think that a lot of the stuff that people post on Twitter is relevant to post on Facebook and vice versa. So I really think that you have to kind of be doing both always. There are a lot of Facebook purists out there who say, oh, I never use Twitter, I only use Facebook. I think that's missing an opportunity, and vice versa, the people who are like totally Twitter-centric that don't even have a fan page. That's not necessarily the best idea either. I think you want to, if social media offers it, if you're a business, I think you want to have it. So, you know, Facebook has groups. You want to have a group. You want to have a fan page. Then you want to have a tool like MarketMeSuite that brings them all together so that you're not spending 8 hours a day on social media.
Yeah, that's the key. And we'll get to the question of efficiency, because I know when I work with companies, and I actually just did that over the weekend. I did a second retreat day for a particular client, and you know, I actually give them a suggested timetable. So here's how much time this, you know. So it's more of a you know, social media management. So how to include it into the management of your current organization, and hopefully you have people that can adapt. And it's sort of, I think we're going to get to the point where it's adapt or die. So I like to kind of bring it in now where people can spend a little bit of time, and there's, you know, great training from a lot of different places out there, and figure it out. But I think, you know, one of the questions is certainly, you know, you know, this is one of the questions that I have, and certainly this is a question for a lot of SMBs that are people like myself who, you know, have a company that does something specific, and I don't have a different Twitter feed for my work. So, you know, people are seeing about me, and, you know, I always caution people on the weekends. I get to my petition sites, and I'll tweet out the petitions, and I literally only tweet the ones I really think are important, but nevertheless, you will get bombarded with them. So I'm not necessarily on topic all the time, and especially because I'm doing this all the time. I don't necessarily want to be tweeting out the latest thing on Facebook, tweeting out the latest thing on this, or I have a lot of diversity in my clients, so I don't necessarily want to be tweeting all the time about, you know, the things I'm researching about. So that question of consistency, which seems to be the big thing, you know, if somebody's talking about social media monitoring all the time, say a corporate account versus a social media account where you have more flavor because you get a personality, but that person can have a lot of diversity and interest. So, you know, I might work with Microsoft, but I'm just as passionate about having been in the Peace Corps. So, you know, so altruistic causes appeal to me very much. In terms of your product, does that help people figure out how to consolidate their message? Can they look at their messaging, I guess, from a holistic point of view and go, oh, God, you know, at certain points of the day, I should be talking about my business more consistently so that, you know, in search results, et cetera, I'm coming up? Or, you know, how can you, I guess the general question is, you know, from my specific example, but broadening it a little bit, you know, does your product help people? Because I find a lot of products do this, and it can be a really interesting way to get leads for your product. You know, it's how does the tool let me see something I'm not doing right that I might think that I'm just do, you know, I'm out there on Twitter and I'm doing it, but maybe you're not on message enough. Maybe they're too, you know, your tweets are too sporadic. Maybe they're not hashtagged correctly. Is there anything like that in the tool that allows you to see that holistic view and take action from it?
Well, to a point. I mean, it's not an analytics tool, although eventually we may build a module for more analytics because we do collect a lot of good data for each account that would help us, would help people see how they're using it. For example, in reply campaigns, we can allow people to set up, much like Google AdWords. I mean, it's not automated, but it's very it's a very good scientific way of only connecting with people who make sense for you to connect with. So there's definitely a lot of data that we can then come back with analytics on eventually, and that's definitely on the roadmap. But I think that from our tool's perspective, it's really about taking what comes back to you and then organizing it and acting on it the right way. So, for example, if you said you're using the one Twitter account and that you have a lot of different faces that goes on that Twitter account, which I don't see anything wrong with, by the way. I use my personal Facebook profile, and sometimes I post pictures of my son, and sometimes I post updates about our blog, and I'm friends with a lot of people, and I'm perfectly happy to do that. Some people find that personal private disconnect. I just think that it just endears us more to our users and to our brand, just to see a little bit about our real lives. So I think that that's not bad. But I think that when you have an account like that, you have to find ways to know what to action and what not to. So if you started implementing like dotted tweets, where when there were certain things that you wanted to tweet out before you did, you assigned it a color, so you just knew how many things were coming through that were more political, that you said you do petitions, and then you knew which things were more customer related, more client related, and so on and so forth. You could actually start seeing how many tweets of each genre you're doing, and then start seeing if you actually have a balanced Twitter account. That's just kind of off the cuff thinking of how you could kind of use dotted tweets. See, I told you people would come up with ways to use dotted tweets, and that's actually not a bad way to use it. But in terms of tracking the analytics, we are really a marketing tool. But analytics is definitely something we'll consider implementing more of. Alan, am I right in saying that that's something on your particular roadmap?
Absolutely. At the moment, we are collecting a lot of statistics ready for use, like which tweets you send contain URLs. So then you can, because basically you don't be posting links all the time. Sometimes you see Twitter and Facebook accounts which only post links on there. So what we're doing is collecting those stats and show you, so we can show you proportions of your tweets and Facebook statuses which contain a link, and then you can see, well, you might want to sort of cut that down. We can show sort of warnings that maybe you're sending over 90% of links or something like that, and then people can adjust it. And the other thing we're doing is, of course, is we can see how many tweets you're sending on a particular day or day of the month. So then we can say you're not posting very much on Tuesday around midday, and so you might want to knock your tweets
really
down.
Helpful.
So that's right. We're collecting these stats now, and it's happening at the moment, but we're just getting ready so we can build it into the app. And then we'll have stats for quite a long period of time, and you can start to sort of improve. So, yeah, like I said, maybe on a Tuesday or Wednesday lunchtime, you're not posting as much, and you can see that you need to post then.
So, see, that feature alone would sell me the product like crazy. So you have to let me know, Alan. I'm going to be expecting an email from you or Tammy when that feature goes live, because I would be all over that. I mean, that's one of the most challenging things.
Now, Alan, he's been actively working on it. It's just we don't tend to announce new features. So you heard it here first until we're totally.
You heard it here first. Well, no, I know, and I understand. You know, you've just got a new version out, so everyone understands with versioning, and I mean, development is getting so beyond agile. It's crazy. When I work at some companies in stealth, and I'm there, it's like major product decisions are being made over, you know, eating food over your computer, you know, and it's like 15 minutes, and normally it would have been, you know, roadmap, pull it out, get the wiki, you know, figure out where it goes. And, you know, everybody's
developing. You have a side camera in our office? That sounds a bit like us.
Well, you know, and so I think the idea is, that the statistics and analytics are great, and it obviously begs the question that I have to ask, which is Hootsuite, Seismic, TweetDeck, they all have their pluses and minuses. They're more of a dashboard solution. So for folks out there who may not know what a, because we have more of a general technical audience, and some people are very into it and some people are just interested. So let's try to target the interested who are saying, okay, this is a social media marketing tool. Well, so is Hootsuite, so is TweetDeck, so is Seismic. How is this different? Hootsuite, I know, gives me analytics, but the price point might be a little bit higher. Explain to me where you see yourself fitting in the landscape of social media marketing tools, and you know what your specific differences are, what your strengths are.
Right. Okay. I mean, that's a great question, and it's important to note that there's a very big difference between management and marketing. Excuse me. Sorry. Just getting over a pretty bad cough. TweetDeck, you know, they were the first. They're, you know, management, great management. But again, it's that classic example of you download it and you think, all right, I'm going to take over the world with my Twitter marketing, with my Twitter presence, and you have 2 followers. And you're like,
and he's,
well,
and Ian Dodsworth is right there in England as well, we should say. So it's kind of interesting. You've got, you know, Alan's there. You've got, and then Richard, the community manager, I think he's living in France somewhere, but, you know, he's English. So you've got this, you know, sort of, that's the English posse. So, yes, TweetDeck, and still people ask about it. I'm helping put together, as a facilitator, a conference for Media Bistro, and we definitely want to have a demo of TweetDeck. And Ian was so sweet, and he was like, oh, well, you've got Hootsuite, you've got Seismic, you don't need me. And I'm saying, wait, users are asking for you to be, to do a, you know, you meaning you as TweetDeck, you know, can Richard spare 15 minutes to talk to the community? So those are management tools is what you're
right. And I think nobody really does it that. I mean, TweetDeck, we have nothing but respect for all of them, Seismic is actually quite different. I have a different take on that. But for Hootsuite and TweetDeck, they're great for management. And they're really good for the end user, for the person who will be using it more socially, not really for business, for the person who just, you know, they're into a few different groups, a few different clubs, and they're using it to communicate with their sorority or whatever it is, you know, and they just need a quick way to manage what they're doing. I think that they are great for those things. But then there comes a point where you think, right, I need to do more than just tweet out. I need to do more than just reply when replied to. I'm a small business. I don't have lots of money behind me. I need to go get customers. I'm a chiropractor's office. I'm a small law firm, or I'm a one-man show entrepreneur, and I have a PR, you know, a small freelance PR thing. I need to go out and connect with people. So that's where we come in with the proactive marketing side. So it all started around the concept of reply campaigns, which is a way to, as I said at the beginning, kind of geo-target, niche-target, and only send replies and proactively, basically. It's almost like, I think of it like if you go to a networking cocktail hour, you know, and you're sitting in the room and everyone's just kind of sitting there. And imagine if there was like a big red arrow that pointed at people that you should go up and introduce yourself to and even told you a little bit about them, and you were the only one that could see this. And then you walked over and, you know, knew exactly what to say. That's the concept of reply campaigns. And then there's, you know, the branding, the signatures, the hashtags, the Facebook signatures, all ways to take any kind of interaction and hopefully drive it into an actionable lead. And then that's where a marketing tool differentiates from really great management. But, of course, to be any tool worth its salt, you have to have that really great management. So we modeled ourselves off the best. You know, we're not ashamed to say that we took the best of everything that we were using, put that in, plus all the marketing. So that's where we fit in.
Interesting. So, you know, in terms of the businesses that you talk to and how you do your outreach, do you find that you yourselves are doing most of your sales through and lead generation through social media channels? Or is it, you know, how is the flow work for you as a business?
Well, when we first started, I mean, we built reply campaigns and all these things so that we could use it to get customers in. So we still get, Alan, I don't remember the stats, but we get a tremendous amount of our traffic from social media, a huge percentage.
Yeah.
I don't remember what our last analytics were, but it's a very huge percentage from a real spike in Facebook since we've really been kind of hammering that hard with our newest version. Obviously, we like to test everything, you know, before we put it in. So we've had a lot of Facebook traffic coming in lately, which is great. And then a combination of tweeting our blog posts out, that helps get more traffic in as well. So we definitely use social media as a huge source of traffic. In fact, our main sources of traffic are social media and our SEO efforts with our organic traffic.
Interesting. So in terms of, and this is a question that comes up, I think it will be coming up more and more. So we talked about getting to the time issue, and I'm going to put that question off for 1 second in terms of managing your efforts time-wise. But I'm really curious how you build a Twitter following, you're managing it well, you're connecting with the right people. How do you then convert those you know, essentially leads, those connections, into customers? Because it seems like you guys would be the perfect case study in how to do that.
How do you convert the tweets and stuff into leads? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so you've got this loyal Twitter following. How do you convert, and they're really, you know, you've used your, you know, your, let's say somebody's using your tool and they've gotten to the point and they've gotten the following and they're creating the interaction. How mm-hmm. is it that they create a lead from a conversation? I think that's something CEOs are struggling to grasp at this point.
Right. Well, I think that's the nicest part of how you can generate your following using MarketMe Suite, because if you're using something like Reply Campaign and you're actively talking to people, and especially if you're asking them a question relevant to what they just said, because you have to think about it, it's in real time. So if somebody just had dinner at a local restaurant and that restaurant uses MarketMe Suite to see that person just tweeted about it because they have the words set up and the geotarget set up and they see it, and then they quickly reply back with, oh, how was your dinner? You know, it was lovely seeing you, or something like that. That's turned into a follower that already is listening to what you have to say. And then if the next time you talk to them, you hit them up with a nice discount coupon for the next time they come in, there's somebody who's really listening to what you have to say because they've just interacted with you twice and it was very pleasant both times. They're following you. They're engaged with you. So I think that the nice thing about building a following using a tool like MarketMe Suite is you're not just getting eyeballs. You're getting eyeballs who want to read what you're saying. So by virtue of the fact that you're building it in this way, that you're not just hoping that people happen to find you, that you're interacting with them, they're already listening to you. So that means that once you have people who are tuning into you, that are adding you to lists and things like that, they're now tuned into what you have to say. So when you auto-post from your blog or you put out coupon codes or, you know, say that you're about to be on the radio with Jennifer, people are now listening and they're coming and they're doing what you say.
I think, again, that still feels tricky. And maybe, Alan, feel free to weigh in on this. So what I find to be, so I get most of my business through referral, which is great because mm-hmm. somebody said, you know, you need to use this particular person. And most of the people I work with, I've seen do really amazing things other places, or I will work with really amazing consulting companies or marketing companies or PR companies to assist them in their efforts in some way. So it's all great and works together as this lovely circle. But what happens when you feel like, again, using the example of kind of the personal / business account, where, you know, how do you, it's basically a discussion of basically at some point you're going to have to broach the question, just like at a cocktail party, well, right, of check out my product. Or is there, I'm sorry, go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I think selling has changed quite a bit, and it does depend on what business you have, but I think you're right, it can be difficult. I think what does work is, or what people need to change is not to sell at people, not post links constantly at them all the time, but to strike up that conversation that we talked about already, and then drop in a link to your blog post, and because you've engaged a following that is interested in what you want to say, engage that, write the blog post that you've got to talk about what you actually do. And then you've got people reading it. And then because you're not selling at them, like, say, you know, buy my product or buy my service, then they're going to read the blog post and then convert those to your customers. So you're sort of building the conversation first, then pointing them gently in the direction of what you want to sell them. And then from there, I think that's where the conversions come.
And you have to also remember with signature, with branding and with things like Facebook signatures, these things are being tucked in there anyway. So every interaction you're having with them, it's more than just seeing your Twitter name, which may not actually say what you do. You're having other kind of more tacit ways of gently pointing people. And people these days are just so much more savvy. You can't just be like, buy, buy, buy. But if you're talking with them, people are going to take the initiative to do that one click just to see what it is that you do.
You hope. You definitely, you know, and I think that's where I think, you know, certainly being able to, you know, talk more about the analytics of it and not to, you know, because I know that it's not included yet, but I think once you get that, that'll be a really strong case, an even stronger case, because like I said, I think we're at this point right now where people are still talking about the time it takes and do we still have community managers or does that become part of people's jobs? So now your tool seems like it would create an efficiency there, right?
Definitely.
So talk to me about your perspective. So there is a little bit of a debate right now about, you know, do people hire a community manager or do they work it into the schedule of the people they have? And obviously it's very specific depending on the kind of company that you're running. But if you have a particular take on that, please feel free to say. But let's talk about, you know, stay focused on your product and what the efficiency pieces are of that and how it helps solve or add to, in a positive way to the discussion about what do we spend our time on and who should
right.
do it.
I think with regards to community managers, I think it does depend on the size of the company. I mean, my small antiques business was not hiring a community manager. Having everyone, you know, at the time, obviously, we didn't have Market Suite, it didn't exist yet, but having everyone downloading something like this would have been just fine for that size business. Because when you have something like, we have a feature where you have daily at mention emails. So once a day, it'll just send you an email and say, right, you've had 10 different people at reply you, and that just kind of reminds you, oh, right, better open up our Community Suite and actually start replying to these. I think that more than a community manager, what smaller businesses probably need is, like, customer relationship management. So that's why we're so in love with Zendesk, and, again, we get no money from Zendesk. We happen to use them, so we integrate with them because we figure if we like them, other people will too. So they do something where you can turn a tweet into a Twicket. And that's a cute name, isn't it? Twicket.
Yeah, that is true.
So this way you can sit there and say, okay, I know that this better go to our customer support section. Even if you're a one-man show, you still have to put on a lot of different hats. So you can assign that to your customer support section, and it'll automatically open up as a ticket in your Zendesk account. That's great. I mean, that is such a time saver because then it doesn't have to force people. You don't have to reply to them and say, can you please open up a ticket here? You can just make it into a ticket, you know, right there and then and start replying to them. And I think with that is tweets as well. That's a way of you know, organizing your and prioritizing what you're doing and then assigning it if you need to or, again, just putting on that other hat and handling it in those different ways.
Any
but I don't think community managers will be out of a job. I think it's just for the very small businesses, I think these sorts of tools are probably making it so you don't have to spend your money on that right away.
And one thing we haven't talked about is forums. You know, I think, you know, in the cases of companies where forums are a huge piece of the pie in terms of who your customers are, you know, mm-hmm. you need to be in touch certainly with, or I, you know, my personal view is that you would need to definitely make sure that you're considering your forums, but you have to be very respectful and not be just an outsider going, here, links, come follow me, blah, blah, blah. You have to really mm-hmm. add value, and you have to be listening for a little while and maybe just kind of adding a comment here or there that's just part of discussion without a ton of branding except for maybe a signature like everyone else is using.
Exactly.
And then slowly build to a point where maybe you add your Twitter presence instead of just your blog, or maybe you add your, you add another link to your signature or whatever, and it becomes a subtle relationship build. And that's certainly something that I think a community manager in that way really can benefit an organization. And you do see larger companies, you know, a lot of big tech companies certainly that I've worked with have these forums. But there are the sort of mommy blogger, daddy blogger sites where forums or comment threads can be like forums in a way where there's just mm-hmm. such a dense amount of content. And I'm curious what your perspective is on that and if MarketMe Suite either now or in future will be able to help people manage that.
Well, I mean, it does depend because, I mean, you're talking about a very wide scope there, you know, which forums, which sites, you know.
Sure.
Like that. I mean, right now, one thing that I think has really changed a lot on Facebook recently, which is a lot more like a forum, is the new groups. I don't know if you've tried the new groups. It's a lot different than the old groups. It's much more interactive, much more crowdsourcing kind of. Have you tried it? It's great. I mean, we're big fans of the new groups. We've used that a lot for MarketMe Suite. We only have a small group because it hasn't been up for that long. But even in that small group, we found that a lot of people can help solve each other's problems even without us, and it's just highly interactive. So that was a priority for us because of the way we used it to get that into version 3, and it is. So that's good. Adding the signature is a great way to just have a very, you know, tacit throwback to what it is that you do without people having to click on your profile and then add you as a friend. And, you know, Facebook never makes it easy to see who you are. So, but in terms of all forums, it's kind of a hard question to answer. I mean, we're always going to be innovating and adding things that we can because this is going to be a suite of tools for small businesses. I mean, it's going to stick more with social media because that's just where the tool is at. But I mean, Alan, we just have to see. If the question was slightly more specific, I might be able to answer. But all forums is just kind of.
I think there's such a large amount of content out there, and if you use let's say listening tools and find, you know, I remember somebody that I. I'm on the board with at Social Media Club, has this very successful business, and they found a huge following for a very, very large nationwide in the United States bank that was, I believe, in the South, and it had tons of followers. And, you know, if they weren't looking the right way, they would never have known that this particular forum existed. And mm-hmm. by being able to follow it and, you know, as I said, you know, first monitor, decide if it was appropriate to weigh in, allow, you know, identify the right person in the organization to start weighing in and then being part of it. Again, it's all just sort of finding, first of all, the hot spots of where you should be talking using either a tool or researching it, you know, by search. And then, you know, you find that content, and the sort of question is sort of how do you manage the different types of content? But it sounds like, you know, you're allowing for that in the product, and it will continue to evolve because it sounds like you've got...
Yeah, we have a few tricks up our sleeve that, you know, as it unfolds, we have some. Alan will never say it himself. He's one of the smartest people I've ever met. So Alan has some crazy ideas up in his head that once we figure out how to implement them, it'll just continue to grow. I'm really excited. I feel so lucky that I'm on board on this because the guys are great.
Yeah, and so we should say that, you know, full disclosure in a good way, you know, not a must do, but we were introduced by Luke Brindley-Jones of Influence People and our Social Times. And, you know, he loves and thinks, you know, your product is a really good up-and-coming one. So you're definitely one to watch, and I'll be interested to see, you know, how you progress, and you definitely keep us posted on the growth of the company, because I think we have a really good sense of what the product can do and how many people can be helped by it. That, you know, it's certainly, at least in the case of Twitter, there's a few things that I know that I already love and think are, you know, fantastic about what it has the capacity to do. So I thank you both for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, again, that was, and you guys can feel free to get on with your day. You don't need to stay on the line. I'm going to say goodbye to our lovely listeners. That was Tammy Kahn Fennell, who's the CEO of MarketMe Suite. And contributing here and there was Alan Hamlin, who is the CTO of MarketMe Suite as well. And I want to thank each and every one of you listeners for tuning into the A-List with me, Jennifer Neely. We hope you enjoy the program. If so, we'd love it if you'd be so kind as to friend us or add us to your favorites here on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes, depending on how you're listening. Please rate us. Let us know how we're doing. Send in questions. We want to hear from you. We don't hear from you. We haven't accomplished our job of making sure that the community gets to access the influencers and the people that are you know, creating innovation in all of the spaces that affect our everyday lives. As always, you can keep in touch with the latest on this show, archives, and as much free information as I can fit in at jenniferneely.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great week.